The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Well, I think we've got a few sports to talk about today. May work in some stuff, too. Let's do it. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. A lot going on in the sports world.
Is there? I hadn't noticed.
Yeah, well, your Astros are three outs away.
Los Astros.
Up 5-3 now. And
still batting.
Yeah, still batting. With two outs in the...
They ran Kimbrel, even though the Red Sox literally have no other respectable pitcher to give the ball to.
Yeah. A lot of very strange stuff yesterday and today, I thought.
Yeah. It's not just these 2 days. It's not just these 2 games.
Yeah.
The leash that managers have on their starting pitchers now is so short in the playoffs. I don't get it. I somehow get it if you're a team like New York or Cleveland that has a badass bullpen. But some of these teams that are, you know, their strength is their starting pitching, you might want to stick with that.
Yeah.
But
I kind of thought they took Charlie Morton out a little too early.
I did too. I mean, you give up two runs, it's like everybody panics. But I think the Astros made an interesting, odd decision today, and it ends up working out at the end of the day. And
they still got to get three outs.
It's three outs away, but right now it looks like it's going to work out. At the time, man, I did not like that. I don't like bringing a starting pitcher, a guy who, this is the first time Justin Verlander has ever pitched relief in his life. And you bring him in the middle of an inning with a runner on. So now he's starting from the stretch. He's never started an inning with a runner on base. Now, in like a high leverage situation, you're doing that too. It just didn't make sense to me, especially when, like you said, it's not like Morton was setting the house on fire. It was not like it was a disaster. He could have gotten through that inning, and then if you want to throw Verlander, which I don't know that I agree with that either, but throw him at the start of the next inning.
Or if you're going to do that, bring in Will Harris there and let him get the two outs and then put him at the start. But I here's my question, and listen, I don't want to dog on A.J. Hinch too much because look where he's got him. But if you know you're going to use Verlander, why doesn't he just start the game?
I don't get that either.
I'm just curious. If you know you're going to pitch him at least four innings.
Maybe if you think, well, if we're up 4-0, we don't have to use him. We can save him for game one of the next series. Or if it gets to be 7-0 in the third inning or second inning, then we'll save him for game five. But I
would like the idea. Just go with him and then have Keuchel ready for game five if you need him.
Yeah.
Because maybe this works out where he'll be ready for game two of the Indian series, presumably Indians, and it'll all be fine. That, to me, is a real key for them winning today, because you don't want to mess up your rotation when you go against that team. You need to have your top dogs at the top.
Well, you're going to have Keuchel going first, and I mean, if you're an Astros fan, ideally the Yankees win today.
Yeah.
And you can have Keuchel pitch game one and Verlander pitch game two. But you also can't really count on that.
No.
But this is another game where Chris Sale started out really strong. Another move by the Red Sox to put in Sale that I didn't really get. Porcello, I thought, was okay. I mean, he wasn't.
Yeah, those guys were keeping you in the game.
He wasn't great, but he was in the game.
Yeah.
And then and they bring in Sale, and he shuts it down for a couple innings. And I think they ran him out there one inning too long.
And I think that's what happened with McCullers yesterday, too.
Yep. You could see him starting to fade, and they're like, let's push it a little further. And then the bad comes. And the bad definitely came today for Chris Sale. And kudos to the Astros. Alex Bregman with a bomb off of him in a big situation.
Josh Reddick with a clutch hit.
Yep. So the Astros came up big against arguably the best pitcher in the game.
And maybe the best reliever in the game, too.
You could argue it. So
they went after Kimbrell.
That is a big win for, I mean, not that the game's over, but it's a big win to get those two guys and get them out of there. So see if Ken Giles can hold it down here at the end and maybe.
Two innings for him, which is
not ideal.
No, but he got, after the first batter, he got through the second two real fast in the last inning. So,
but man, it felt like the whole thing had fallen apart. You know what I mean? And I don't mean to, I didn't want to be like the Debbie Downer, but when Verlander gives up that home run, I'm like, ugh. It just felt like the whole series was ending. Oh, he didn't catch that ball. Nope. That's going to be a triple.
That's going to be a home run.
That might be a park home run. Oh, my God. Well,
yep.
I mean, I don't blame him for trying to make that play, but.
5-4 now.
Ouch.
Nobody out.
Yeah, that is not what you wanted to happen. Devers goes off the center field wall. Springer goes to try to make a play for it. Hits the wall. I thought he caught it at first.
Yeah. Would have been a great catch.
But then the ball bounces away, and Devers is speedy. He got all the way around. And now wiggle room is gone.
Yep.
5-4 with no outs in the bottom of the ninth. So, man. What a game this has been. I mean, this is playoff baseball.
You want to cut into the game?
Can we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, why don't we do that till this is over?
They're pulling him, I think.
If they're doing that, who are they going to go to?
Like Gregerson?
No, I don't think they're pulling him.
Oh, they went to go talk to him.
Yeah, they just give him a chat. I don't know. You think that's the right thing to do, Fred?
Yeah, I think it is. I think what people want to hear right now.
We'll be back at least if this goes extra innings, we'll come back in between innings. But we're going to give you the bottom of the ninth here of the Astros Red Sox.
Gonzalez. By the time Springer got up, Brian Butterfield already knew that he was going to send him home. They hit them with their best shot. They need to do it again.
Inside the park, home run when it's needed most. Christian Vasquez up, a crowd at a fever pitch. Strike one from Giles. Oh, man, every team, this is like a 15-round heavyweight bout at this stage, son. This is why you come to postseason baseball. This is why you tune in. The 0-1, ground ball. Glove Bregman twirling over to first. What a nice play over to Gurriel. There's one out. That almost got through. He made that look pretty smooth.
And I'll tell you why that didn't get through. Because all of a sudden, they decided not to guard the lines. You got nobody out. You got a one-run lead. A lot of times, managers at first and third will say, cover the line. Do not let anything get down the line for an extra base hit. They decided not to do that. The only reason Bregman could get to that ball.
Jackie Bradley Jr., 0-for-3 today. Three-run homer yesterday. First pitch to him, swung on and foul back, strike one.
Right on it. Right on it.
The pitch on the way. It's behind everything. It's 1-1.
I don't know what happened right there. But
cross up mask? What was it?
Brian McCann completely missed it. And that ball absolutely smoked home plate umpire Mark Wigner. Brian McCann going out to the mound to talk to Ken Giles, a slow walk back to home to give the home plate umpire a little bit of time to shake that off.
Unbelievable theater here in the bottom of the ninth, Boston. Devers on that carom. Inside the park home run, it's 5-4, Houston. 1-1. And the offered at it to Bradley Jr. and kind of shaking his head back like I should have taken it, but it's 1-2. Giles trying for a two-inning save. How big is that hit by Beltran now? And missed with that one. It's 2-2. Astros trying to get to their first American League Championship Series ever. Of course, they've been to the National League Championship Series back in 2005 when they were a member of the National League. They'd like to try it from the other side, but boy, is Boston scraping back as you knew they would. 2-2 pitch on the way. He offered at it, and now the tag is made, and Bradley has struck out. Ball in the dirt, he couldn't hold back. The tag was made by McCann and Boston down to their final out, and it's Dustin Pedroia.
Boomer, 46 times Justin Verlander pitched in college at Old Dominion. They were all starts. 22 times he pitched at the minor league level. They were all starts. 385 postseason games, all start. 17 postseason games, all start. Regular season, 385. His first relief appearance as an adult, and he gives up a home run to Benintendi, and he's in line to pick up the win.
Dustin Pedroia swinging and missing at a pitch on the outside corner, strike one. Houston, 5. Boston, 4. Tremendous game 4 here in this series. Houston, 1 out away from moving on. Boston trying to scratch through and prolong this game. Send it somehow back to Houston for game 5. Ken Giles the righty to Pedroia the righty. Fastball up top. 1-1. Heroes up and down the lineup for Houston has been their story. The 1-1. He held off his swing.
And you know, Boomer, the story really in this division series has been the same story all year long offensively for Houston, and that's the length of that lineup. The production they get from the bottom of the order is good, if not better, than anybody in baseball.
Two balls, one strike, two out, none on but a run home. It's 5-4 Houston. Swinging and missing, and now down to one strike. Pedroia trying to dig in, trying to muster. It's just fitting that he's up. Remember, the two championship teams here as the rain is starting to pick up. Rookie in 07 when Boston won. Of course, a big part of that team in 13 that won it. Houston hoping that this allows them to move on. Foul back. The Houston Astros lost 106 games in 2011. They lost 107 games in 2012. They lost 111 games in 2013. Yet here they are. Boston got this close because Devers inside the park home run. The last postseason home run inside the park for Red Sox since 1916. Pitch on the way. Pedroia held. Ooh, it's 3-2.
It doesn't get much tougher than this trying to hit. The rain is coming down as hard as it has all day. The batter's box is slick. The bat, Dustin Pedroia, had to wipe the water off of it. He's cleaning it off the top of his batting helmet. And oh yeah, the guy on the mound throws 100 miles an hour.
Catcher McCann out, shortstop Correa out to talk to Giles.
Well, this is all McCann going out there saying, this is what I think. I've been behind the plate throughout this series. This is my thought on what you should do here. Do you agree? Carlos Correa coming in to find out, as has Bogaerts all day, What's the thought? What are you going to throw? Three balls, two strikes, two out. The pitch on the way, fouled, shot in and out of the Red Sox dugout. Ken Giles, the righty. He kind of does a couple squats on the mound. Looking straight down to gather himself. Dustin Pedroia gathering himself in the batter's box. Righty to righty. Payoff pitch again. Here it comes. And a shot put it to second baseman Altuve. Over to Gurriel. And the Houston Astros are moving on. The Houston Astros have beaten the Red Sox 5-4.
All right, so there you go. Astros win. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll
sports.
Get into sports. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, the baseball playoffs are here, Houston, and the best place to watch the games, Nick's Place. Come on out to a Houston original, Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge, with over 40 TVs, daily food and drink specials. Nick's is the place to be. This playoff season, it's Nick's Place, baby.
Football season has arrived, and it's time to score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie.ag. MyBookie is an industry-leading website and the best place for you to cash in on all the insane last-minute drives, huge upsets, and heart-pounding finishes. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. They have in-game live betting on nearly every sporting event, plus a user-friendly mobile site, so you never miss a single play. At MyBookie.ag, you can pick the side, total, or even hit it big with player props. It doesn't matter if you've been a player for years or you just like a team's colors because they match your favorite shoes. MyBookie.ag caters to all players. Start winning big today. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a withdrawal? Come join MyBookie today. With decades of expertise, no hassle payouts, and no fine print, you'll experience the greatest customer service in the business guaranteed. Use promo code RADIO to activate your bonus of up to 100%. Call 844-900-2387 or visit MyBookie.ag to open an account. That's 844-900-BETS or go online to MyBookie.ag and use promo code RADIO. Bet with the biggest, win with the best, only at MyBookie. Sign up today.
AT&T Sportsnet is your TV home for the Houston Rockets. Visit AT&TSportsNet.com and click on the channel finder to see how you can watch the Rockets all season long. Every game, every shot, only on AT&T Sportsnet. Available on DirecTV, U-verse, and Xfinity.
As a business owner, you work hard to ensure the health and success of your company. You probably don't have enough time in your day, and having a little extra help would be nice. Equify has discovered five critical areas you can monitor that directly impact the bottom line so your company stays healthy and strong. We think these areas might surprise you. Download the Healthy Business Checklist today at healthybusinesschecklist.com. It's free, it's simple, and only takes seconds to strengthen your business. Download it now at healthybusinesschecklist.com. That's healthybusinesschecklist.com, powered by Equify.
Houston alone lost 750,000 cars to Hurricane Harvey. Give Me the VIN will give more for your car today than they would pre-Harvey because the market's going up. It's my job to reload the market with the cars, so I'm buying them high. Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com, and we'll buy your car online sight unseen. You can do it from your underwear.
And don't forget, we come to your place to pick up your vehicle.
GiveMeTheVIN.com, so easy you can do it in your underwear.
Whether you're looking for hardwood or woodlook waterproof flooring, Lumber Liquidators is ready to help with the floors and services you need at a price you deserve. Choose from more than 400 varieties of pre-finished hardwood, bamboo, laminate, and the best selection of woodlook waterproof flooring from just 59 cents. Plus, get special financing and professional installation. Or if you're a pro, we have a team ready to help. Get to your local Lumber Liquidators for the expert service and floors you need today.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Raising Cane's. Raising Cane's has that one love, and one love is fantastic quality chicken finger meals. They focus on that one love, which means they're able to do it better than anyone else. They use the best ingredients, only fresh, never frozen chicken fingers, the premium cuts, marinated at least 24 hours, then freshly hand-dipped and hand-breaded in their signature specially seasoned flour, and cooked fresh when you order, served hot, fresh, and fast as possible. It comes with all the great sides, the crinkle cut fries, the thick sliced Texas toast with that that garlic butter blend on top. So great. And then the cane sauce, which is basically the perfect condiment for everything that they serve at Cane's. And not only are they putting up the fantastic food, they're supporting thousands of local causes in our community every year, focusing on the following: enhancing education, pet welfare, feeding the hungry, promoting active lifestyles, business development. These are good people doing things the right way. Why wouldn't you want to support a company like that? Raising Cane's all over the city of Houston. They're helping out the city. What better way to give back than to go eat some of their delicious food? That's Raising Cane's. One love.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. By the way, game story on the Astros is up on SportsMap.
There you go.
I did that on the break. How efficient am I?
Look at you.
Well, I didn't do it. Chris wrote it. I just posted it and found the nice Alex Bregman photo to go with.
Astros in the ALCS. It's exciting. Unsurprising, I would say. I think we both, most people thought they would win this series. They were heavy favorites to win this series. They did it. They got through this thing. They just made it more stressful than I felt like it needed to be. But It's a positive. I think the biggest positive, they finish up their series before Cleveland does.
Yeah.
Because you didn't want Cleveland to have... And realistically, Cleveland, they kind of helped themselves by not pitching Kluber in game one. And they're sort of set up either way. But it at least gets the Astros where they've got Keuchel or Verlander, more than likely Keuchel starting game one and hopefully Verlander game two, to start your first two games. And that's exactly what you were hoping for.
Yeah, I have to say that this is pretty exciting. I was a little worried that the whole series had turned on that play yesterday where Betts took the home run from Reddick.
Yeah.
Because right there at 6-0, that place is dead, game over.
Yeah.
And he makes that play, and then they come out and start scoring and get momentum and just run away with that game. And just you know how momentum is in these playoff series. So it's today was a little tense, but they got it done. And they came back to do it, and Bregman was clutch, and Reddick was clutch. And I've been saying all along I thought they spent too much money on Reddick. They should have gone and got a pitcher.
Yeah.
I rescind that, sir. I think he's been good for that locker room, and he's had a hell of a year. 713-780-ESPN. So I asked, will the Verlander decision bite them in the ass next series? I don't think so. Not the way it looks like the schedule's going to play out. I think you'll be okay with that. Ideally, you wouldn't have had to use him today, but as it turned out, I mean, do you win if you throw Will Harris and those cats out there?
I don't know. I mean, maybe not. I don't know. I wouldn't have mind seeing, like you said, Will Harris finishing that inning and then bringing Verlander in on a fresh inning. But whatever. It worked.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. A.J. Hinch hasn't had to manage a lot this year. And, you know, maybe he's over-managing a little bit in these playoffs. But as long as it works, I don't really care. Trust me, I'll be the first one to hammer him if it doesn't work. But it worked, so good for him. Here they come. This is what's going to happen now, Fred. Tyler, he's not even the first one. He's just the first one since we've been on air. Man, Astros should have traded Bregman for Sale, huh? Ha, 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 ha. All caps. Let me tell you something, Tyler. Yes, I would still trade Bregman for Sale every day forever. Because Bregman is an above-average third baseman. Chris Sale is one of the top two or three pitchers in the league. So, yes, I would still trade. I would trade for him yesterday, today, tomorrow. And I'm not silly enough to let two at-bats in a playoff series determine who the better player is. So, yeah, I would still trade Bregman for Sale. Ha, 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 ha.
Should we just save that clip and replay it every
minutes? Just save it, John.
Minutes?
Yeah, we're going to need that.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
Yeah, well, you have every right to be happy.
Yeah.
Astros fans, so enjoy it.
But why is everyone trolling me? I picked the Astros. I'm excited. I wanted the Astros to win this series. I thought they would win this series. I don't know why I'm the target of trolling.
Oh, because that's what people do.
Because people assume I'm a Houston hater. That's always the narrative.
You are, though.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
It's just embrace it, man. This could be your Skip Bayless moment.
I don't need that. Twitter was also like astounded last night that I was impressed with Deshaun Watson. What, AJ saying something nice about Houston? What? It's like, hey, give me something worth being excited about, and I'll get excited. I just haven't had anything. It's been a while, Houston. I know you guys have like tried to force excitement about Matt Schaub era Texans and James Harden Rockets. I'm not buying into it, so I'm not going to pretend. When there's something actually worth getting excited about, I'll get excited. I'm excited about this Astros team. I'm excited about Deshaun Watson. But I just don't fake it when there's nothing to be excited about.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, that's... I've been really excited about Deshaun Watson since they moved up to get him.
Well,
so I you know, that one I'm enjoying a little bit more. But the reality is, this Astros team has a chance to win the World Series. You should be excited about it. We should be excited about it. Texans are going to have to fix some issues on defense big time, but my goodness, they at least have an offense now. And it's amazing how fast it's flipped from being a team that had no offense but could keep being in the game with defense to a team that can score and put up points and move up and down the field. But defense pretty much sucks.
Yeah, and I mean, as exciting as it was last night, the offense is still, it's still a rookie quarterback. There you're going to have ups and downs, you know. And a lot of the stuff that Deshaun did last night was when the game was out of reach. But it does seem more like an offensive team than a defensive team now, at least through 5 weeks. And particularly in the losses, the defense just hasn't shown up at all.
No, and the big problem last night, well, there were a lot of problems. And, of course, we haven't talked about losing Watt and Merciless. Which
that's the biggest problem.
Yeah, and Merciless, I think you've got guys who can kind of fill that role. You can move McKinney outside and let him become a rush guy. I like Cunningham and Cole and even Brendan Scarlett. I think you've got some players there. So there's a drop-off, but that's not one where you go, wow, what do you do? But JJ, it's like, what do? You don't have anything like that. And you haven't been getting pressure on the quarterback. I mean, they did nothing. I also think, well, my other thing is maybe Mike Vrabel doesn't know what he's doing. Maybe Romeo needs to be getting more involved in this defense. I mean, I don't know how the dynamic's working over there, but I mean, the play calling on defense, especially on third down, I always say good coaching, you do well in red zone offense, third down defense. Third down defense last night was bad. Alex Smith and the Chiefs, 7 of their first 10.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
That's rough. And I want to kind of put a little, you know, a caveat onto this. The Chiefs are really, really good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they are really good. And even every time I watch them play, I'm like, God, they're even better than I thought they were. And Alex Smith is turning into, I don't want to, like, say elite, but he's turning into a, not just an above-average quarterback. He's turning into a very good quarterback.
Oh, he's having an MVP season right now.
And, you know, there's a lot of defenses that he would have made look bad yesterday. And they've got
especially if they gave him that much time.
Right. They've got a fantastic running game. You know, they've got, obviously, big play threats in Kelce and in Hill. And, you know, the special teams touchdown was really sort of a backbreaker.
Yeah.
Which... is anyone in the world shocked that happened?
I mean,
that is the Texans are the worst at covering kicks on special teams. Punts, kicks, they are the worst.
And, man, you give Tariq Hill space, the ball in space, in that particular unit that the Texans trot out there. Would you have thought about going for it on 4th and 5 in that situation? You're down 12. You're on your own 30. Your defense hasn't stopped them. I know a lot of coaches usually don't think that way because the reality is, you think your defense is going to stop them, but they hadn't all game. And, yeah, I
don't know that I question that too much. I mean,
I thought about it at the time. I just thought, man, but I'm also thinking like, okay, I know this defense sucks.
Right.
And then I didn't realize that he was going to return a punt, and that was
yeah.
the worst.
I mean, yeah. In hindsight, yeah, I would have gone for it.
Yeah, if you know they're going to return the punt anyway.
Would have been much better result.
No matter what you did, unless you throw a pick six, it was going to be a better result.
But realistically, the Texans right now, I mean, they're 2-3. And I decided last night when I was watching them just get lit up on defense and watching J.J. Watt limp off the field to a cart and Whitney Merciless lost for the season. I decided last night there's no moral victory from this. Even the late touchdown and the two-point conversion to leave it a one-score game. 42-34, this game was not nearly that close.
No.
The Chiefs were dominant for almost the entire game last night. Deshaun Watson, though, made some big plays. He's showing promise still. That throw
Deshaun
to Fuller.
Deshaun Watson is the reason this game didn't turn into what the Texans did to the Titans.
Or what the Chiefs did to the Texans in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's what it easily could have been if it weren't for him. So he made it interesting, at least. But make no mistake, it's not like it was a play or two away from the Texans beating the Chiefs. The Chiefs are a much better football team than the Texans. And that was proven last night. But so I don't want to call this a moral victory, but when you think about, and I don't know if this is the case anymore, Fred. I don't know if the defense is the strength of the team. So I don't know if you're expecting the defense to play better than it did yesterday, or the defense to play better than it did against Patriots, or than it did against Jacksonville. But that's the key theme in all three losses. The defense has been horrendous. Now, the offense sucked in the Jags game, too.
That was going to be a loss no matter what.
No matter what the defense did, you were losing that game. But you hold the Bengals to 9 points. You hold the Titans to 14 points. You win those games. You give up, in the 30s, you're losing those games. We assumed, and I don't think we were foolish to assume, that this defense was going to, more often than not, if they hold you to, let's say you get 21 points off the Texans defense, those are games that you can win. I don't know how many games you can win if you're giving up 36, 40. It's just hard to win games like that in the NFL. At least win many of them. The good thing is the upcoming schedule doesn't have a lot of teams that look capable of putting up 40 points.
Well, let's talk about that when we come back. A couple other things that I wanted to get to as well. But we got time. Just check a segment. But, hey, if you want to win your lawsuit, you know who to dial, my man Dave. And if you were in an accident this weekend, whether it was a car or a truck accident, maybe an 18-wheeler, maybe you fell, you got an overtime claim, hey, give them a call. Mestemaker and Straub, here's what they're going to do. They'll tell you if they can't help you. But if you have a case and they take your case, man, if you need a doctor, they're going to set you up there. They're committed to your success. And if you're hurt, man, it's hard to focus because you're dealing with all these lawyers and insurance companies. Well, those insurance companies have their lawyers. You need your lawyer, and your lawyer will kick their butts. And you're going to get a specialized attorney who will deal with the insurance companies. You worry about recovering and getting better and getting your life back on track, and you let them handle everything. Don't wait. Call Houston-based Mestemaker and Straub and let them put your mind at rest. 713-626-8900, 713-626-8900, or go to LawyerDave.com. And Dave's my lawyer. He should be your lawyer. And if you're in trouble, better dial Dave.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Last few years, the excuse has always been quarterback. This year, the Texans have one. Now it's the D. We just need to come to terms with that the Texans are not a good team. No, we don't need to come to terms with that. I think they're certainly an above average team. They've been 9-7 for 3 years with garbage at quarterback. Right now, look, they've played two best teams in the AFC and lost. And they played one game right after the freaking hurricane that they weren't ready to play. And Savage out there.
By the way, the Jags don't suck.
No, the Jags are okay. I don't think they're ever going to win anything as long as, well, you know what they're
It's funny. They're winning the way the Texans were having to win the past few years.
Yeah.
Their quarterback,
in spite of their quarterback play.
Keep the quarterback from having to do anything for you.
Yeah. They're really good on defense, and they run the ball really, really well.
Yeah. And that's a recipe for success. But I do think moving forward, and you were talking about the schedule, they've got to clean some things up on defense. There's no question. And still too many big plays in the secondary. Still not getting enough pressure on. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you played most of the year without Watt last year, so.
Yeah, but you also had Merciless to help ease that pain.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe this frees up Clowney more like it did last year.
Maybe so. And you know what else helped last year when J.J. Watt was out? You had a really good back end of the secondary. And right now the back end of that defense is just meh.
Yeah,
and
they're very average to below average.
They're missing a lot. And I don't know that, you know, it's easy to say, well, if they'd re-signed A.J. Bouye or re-signed Quentin Demps, things would be better. And, you know, A.J. Bouye has been okay. Quentin Demps is injured. But they didn't do anything to address those areas. They just assumed that, well, Kevin Johnson will be back. He'll be healthy. Everything will be okay.
And he hasn't.
The safeties we've got, they'll work out. And it just hasn't worked out that way. So that's where I worry about the defense this year more than I did last year when Watt was out, because I don't know that the back end of that defense is going to be able to pick him up.
I think the only way it gets better is if Johnson can come back and be healthy and play like he did before he got hurt last year. But now you're talking about a guy who's constantly hurt.
Yeah.
And yeah, can you count on that?
Well, I think we should also maybe have the tough discussion of, is J.J. Watt a guy who's always hurt?
Well,
and I know, you know, after the hurricane, everybody's scared to say anything negative about the dude. But, I mean, it's starting to happen. We're starting. And guys who play this hard, they get hurt. And
he's, you know, you get older, and these injuries start to pile up.
Yeah.
I mean, and.
Well, he's always walking around with that damn bionic elbow thing on. So that's clearly, it, you know, remained an issue from the first time he got hurt. But this is, it's becoming a thing. And, you know, he played 13 games last year. Or, no, he missed 13 games last year. He's going to miss 11 games this year. And, you know, he didn't miss a game his first 5 years. But that doesn't mean he wasn't injured during those games.
Yeah.
And now,
well, remember, he played the whole season with two injuries 2 years
right.
ago.
And now it's not going to be as easy, you know, to play through those types of injuries as you get into your 30s, which is, you know, he's going to be 29 next time he gets on the football field. So that's my concern, is that, you know, is the best of J.J. Watt behind us? And I don't think it's crazy to think that might be the case.
No, I don't think he'll ever be defensive MVP J.J. Watt.
I don't think he's going to be 20 sack a year J.J. Watt again.
No, I don't think that happens, but who knows? I mean, the guy works his butt off, and I'm sure he'll come back and be a good player for him. And he didn't have the sacks this year, but some of the things he were doing were, you know, he was tying up two and three blockers at times. He was getting pressure. He was making some plays in the run game. So he was having an impact. It just didn't show up in sacks. So people
right.
are like, oh, he's not playing that well. He was playing pretty well. But, yeah, you know, I feel for the guy. And I know it was it has to be hard for him after all the rehabbing he did to get back in the first place. But what are you going to do? I think injury prone is a fair thing to call him now.
Yeah.
And people ask, you know, can you trade him or release him? Nobody's going to trade
no.
for him, not with that contract. And you can't release him at this point. And there's no reason to. You give a guy a chance to come back. I mean, that's, you know, that's what you do. And I think he's, I think he'll come back and he'll be a good player again. But I don't think he'll ever be. He'll never be the monster he was, I don't think.
I don't think so either. But I mean,
but so what? If you're, he could still be a damn good player for you.
Exactly.
And the reality is now you've got to figure out what to do with that defensive line, and maybe you play the 3-4 a lot more traditionally, you know, with those bigger bodies in there, and you know, move Clowney outside and let him get after the quarterback. And there's some things that they can do scheme wise that I know Romeo can do, which I hope he's standing over Vrabel's shoulder and they're talking about it. But that's what they're going to have to do to move forward. And the good news is they get the Browns this week. They should get well. And, you know, that, and maybe fix some things on defense there and tweak the scheme a little bit. Get ready for the stretch run. Maybe 3-3. And then I think they've got some games that, looked like they were going to be tough moving forward, that I don't think are going to be that hard. So we'll see. Quick break. Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Quick club plug for Houston.sportsmap.com. A really cool website. If you go there now, you'll find Game 4 recap. Bregman, Reddick come up clutch to lead Astros pass Red Sox 5-4. Earn a spot in the ALCS.
There you go.
Also have a What's Next for the Texans with Watt and Merciless loss for the season. Chris Campisi wrote the Astros piece. I wrote the Texans piece. And guess who also has something on there? It's called Off the Top of My Bald Head, A Look at the Aftermath of Chiefs-Texans.
I didn't do anything.
Barry Warner.
Oh.
Yeah, yesterday I wrote 4 stories, I think, and posted 6. So it was a long day. It was kind of my first test day with the Astros game. So I did the college stuff that I do and then did a little preview of the Astros game that came down when the game started and then did Texans and a couple other stuff. So it's, but I'm going to start delegating some of that stuff.
There you go.
Just right now, the first week, I want to make sure we get through it. And, but we're going to have a lot of cool stuff. Hopefully, videos starting up this week too, which would be awesome. But check it out, Houston.sportsmap.com. And, all part of the Gal family here. And speaking of Sports Map, we'll be simulcasting on 94.1 today at the 6 o'clock hour.
6 o'clock.
So there you go. If you're tooling around town, you'll have choices.
How'd your wagering go this week?
Worst weekend I've had in 3 years.
I was pretty rough myself. I wasn't that bad, but I definitely lost, and it brought my totals now. I just added up my season. NFL 12-12-1. NCAA 17-18-1. So I'm in the black, or I'm in the red, Fred. I'm in the red now. I've got to work my way out of this.
I'm still slightly over 50%, but it's close. And this was just a bad weekend. And it started with the push on Thursday night, and that was my best result.
Yeah.
So when that happens, you sit back and you reevaluate what you're doing, and I'll take a look. There were a couple of the games that I was just wrong about, and even the games that I was on the fence about. Like, I would have bet SMU against Houston. That would have missed. Wouldn't have been close. There were a couple others like that, too, that I thought about playing. And by Sunday morning, I just said, you know what? My butt is so sore from this reaming that I'm just going to skip the NFL today. And I didn't make any plays, and I would have missed both the ones that I would have done. So, yeah, that's one of those where it'll be back to square one when I start looking at everything probably tonight. 713-780-ESPN. How was your weekend otherwise?
Not great. I got sick and I basically crapped my brains out on Friday and Saturday. So did a lot of sitting around, watched a lot of football from the toilet, you know, those things.
I had a fun time Saturday and I ran into a friend of yours.
Oh yeah. Who's that?
Well, I was doing, that Biketoberfest with some friends of mine. We went to like 7 different bars in the Heights and you get a stamp when you go there, and at the end, you get a prize if you get through all 7.
Okay.
I got a water bottle. That was my prize.
Congratulations.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome. I got to go to the petrol station, a bunch of cool places like that. But I get to this one by the way, Eureka Heights Brewery, their barrel-aged milk stout.
Uh-huh.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. First time I've had it. But get to this other brewery over there, and they're doing some barbecue, and I look over, and there's Eric Sandler.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we chatted for a little bit, and I have to say, the barbecue, amazing.
Yeah? Hmm. Yeah, I think Eureka Heights won a gold medal at Great American Beer Fest this weekend, too.
Yeah.
for their cream ale, which cream ales are gross, but you know, they won one for their style, so that's good.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. So, and then, yeah, yesterday I worked all day. That was it.
Yeah.
So.
Busy with your map, with the map.
Yep. Yep. What is this?
What is what?
Oh, Jesse just sent me something.
No.
Some the same a-hole who keeps going after me put something on my Wikipedia page.
Oh.
So I'm just going to go take that off. So.
DeSwan de Quarterblack is so upset with me because I'm not in love with Will Fuller. And that's basically it. I've never been a fan of Will Fuller. I didn't like Will Fuller in college. I hated the draft pick of Will Fuller. I think Will Fuller's been a massive disappointment so far as a Texan until the last two games. And by the way, like his first two games of his rookie season, he looked good those two games, and then he became a nothing again. So I said something last night about the Deshaun Watson throw. It was like a 50-yard throw that he hits Fuller in the end zone on. And I said it was an awesome throw. And someone said, yeah, it was a great catch, too. And I was like, yeah, he'll probably drop that half the time. But when he makes it, I'll take it. And she got so defensive over this because Will Fuller's improved. He looks improved. I'm sorry I don't just, you know, see two games where he's caught, I think, six passes in two games and suddenly just forget that the guy drops half the passes that hit his hands. So have we seen improvement in two games relative to last year? Yes. And if he catches two touchdowns a game for the whole season, I mean, I'll just shut up. But I'm sorry if two games don't make me forget everything that he's done in the past. It just doesn't work that way. And she says, it doesn't have to be my favorite, but she says, I'm a fan, you're not, so I expect you to be unbiased as you claim to be. And I am unbiased. It's not like I'm not a fan of Will Fuller because he plays for the Texans. I don't care about that. I don't like Will Fuller because I don't like Will Fuller. If Will Fuller played for the Chargers or the Saints or the Vikings and dropped passes the way he did, I would just say, no, he's not for me, which is fine. We don't have to all like the same players. But everybody's so defensive of this guy all of a sudden. He must have forgot.
Well, has he looked better? Yeah, in two games.
Yeah.
Certainly. And guys can improve, and they needed him to improve this year. But we'll see how it plays out over the course of the season.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN
is your number.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Texas Star Grill Shop. I love these guys. That's where I got my grill. I got my a pellet grill from Pits and Spits there, and I am loving it. The Texas Star Grill Shop Fall Grill Sale happening now. Stop on in today. Get the best prices on top brands like Traeger, Weber, Kamado Joe, Sabre, Napoleon, Green Mountain. Don't make the big box store mistake or assume that you're going to save online. Go into the store, see the grill experts at Texas Star Grill. They'll help you choose the grill that's right for you, and they're going to get you something that's going to last. And I promise you, the prices you see online, they're not as low as they go, my friend. You go into that store, you might be surprised at what you could save. Green Mountain Grill offers a wood pellet grill with amazing temperature control from 150 to 500 degrees. It's got Wi-Fi control, so you can control your grill remotely and monitor the internal temperature of your meat while you're watching the game. What a great life that's got to be. Free delivery and assembly on all grills. Don't forget about the rubs, spices, and sauces that they've got there. Get a grill that's going to last and save big during the fall grill sale. Stop by the Texas Star Grill Shop, Shepherd and 59 in Houston, and on Luetta in Spring. It's TexasGrillShop.com. Texas Star Grill Shop, we have your grill.